The vision of holiness. Jesus is speaking. Look upon all the trinkets made to hang upon the body, or to cover it, or for its use. See all the useless things made for its eyes to see. Think on the many offerings made for its pleasure. Remember all these were made to make seem lovely what you actually hate. Would you employ this hated thing to draw your brother to you and to attract his body's eyes? Learn you but offer him a crown of thorns, not recognizing it for what it is, and trying to justify your own interpretation of its value by his acceptance. Yet still the gift proclaims his worthlessness to you, as his acceptance and delight acknowledges the lack of value that he places on himself. Look with me. Gifts are not made through bodies if they be truly given and received. For bodies can neither offer nor accept, hold out or take. Only the mind can value. And only the mind decides on what it would receive and give. And every gift it offers depends on what it wants. It will adorn its chosen home most carefully, making it ready to receive the gifts it wants by offering them to those who come unto its chosen home, or those it would attract to it. And there they will exchange their gifts, offering and receiving what their minds judge to be worthy of them. Look, each gift is an evaluation of the receiver and the giver. No one but sees his chosen home as an altar to himself. No one but seeks to draw to it the worshipers of what he placed upon it, making it worthy of their devotion. And each has set a light upon his altar that they may see what he has placed upon it and take it for their own. Here is the value that you lay upon your brother and on yourself. Here is your gift to both. Your judgment on the Son of God for what he is. Forget not that it is your Savior to whom the gift is offered. If you offer him thorns, you are crucified. If you offer him lilies, it is because you have freed yourself. Just one more sentence. I have great need for lilies, for the Son of God has not forgiven me. And can I offer him forgiveness when he offers thorns to me? For he who offers thorns to anyone is against me still. And who is whole without him? Be you his friend for me, that I may be forgiven, and you may look upon the Son of God as whole. But look you first upon the altar in your chosen home, and see what you have laid upon it as an offering. If it be thorns, whose points gleam sharply in the blood-red light, the body is your chosen home, and it is separation that you offer it. And yet the thorns are gone. Look you still closer at them now, and you will see your altar is no longer what it is. Thank you for the idea that you have let me read to you, the idea of the inevitable offering presented by my Savior Jesus in the inevitability that the story of the gospel of Jesus is going to include the whole procedure of yourself in regard to what you want to think you are. And that the idea that we can enter into a story, remember, we're all going to go to the movie, aren't we? This is a moving picture of a reenactment of ideas of space-time or stories that we're telling ourselves about what we want to be true as we appear to participate in ideas of pain and loneliness and death without fundamental recognition that in the celebration of Easter will be the idea of the momentary appearance of yourself in reflections of light, in which you were searching for the truth within the fabric of ideas about yourself, contained within memories about yourself. Listen with me now, this is Master Teacher speaking, where you are going to have to look with me at the greatest story that has ever been told. And it's nothing but a basic story of the idea that within the fabric of separation, in the idea of the multiplicity, of the idea of pain and loneliness and death, there appeared in a moment of revelation within any distance of space-time, identified by you as a procedure at the speed of light of what you wanted to see within the fabric of your own correspondent, a moment of the entirety of the light that I just saw in you in the moment of forgiveness. Look with me so that we can teach together in the idea of the crucifixion and the resurrection in the celebration of Easter. It's very likely the guards standing here, very likely the people off in the hill looking at Jesus, very likely all of the disciples that participated in this story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ will be contained inevitably with the entirety of the story of his resurrection. Now, we are happy to tell stories about ourselves in regard to what we term the appearance of a body in the formulation of himself in the idea that he, I'm going to try it with you in our Bible ideas of ourself, that we are telling ourselves stories within the fabric of space-time in which we search for recognition of communication within space-time. Yet no matter how we appear to search within the fabric of the idea of time, I'm speaking now of the entirety of the universe, no matter how we appear to view outside of ourselves reflections of light that come back into our ideas about who we are, we continue to tell ourselves over and over and over again ideas, and now I'm talking particularly to you, of associations within our own mind that have condemned us to the ideas of past and future associations at the speed of light that don't allow us to see the appearance of Jesus in a new light fabric of a story about your own resurrection, can you hear this? That is inevitable. Be reasonable with me, a human being, homo sapien, idea of body form. You have told me a story about pain, death, and loneliness. Included in with your story, and now we're in space-time, has to be a story about the reappearance or associations of an entirety of light represented in the moment of the idea of an accumulation of energy form in the idea of the entirety of the universe that lasted but for a moment in space-time and was replaced by eternal life. Now, say to me, that's a story. Of course it's a story. It's a story of the illusion of your own body formulation with yourself. But notice how the great story that we're telling ourselves now is the recognition of a continuing appearance of other stories about our relationship with ourselves that are allowing us to recognize new ideas in our conceptual self-recognition that, as Jesus points out to you so emphatically in the idea of his resurrection, is very simply that I am now back with you within your framework of time. And that while I have no objection whatsoever to you telling the story about the crucifixion, the idea that he's dead, which obviously he is in the story you tell, the idea that he is laid within the tomb of the particulars of objective association of the death of bodies, and suddenly he's gone. Practice, Easter. Say to me, he is risen. Yeah. Got a lot of thorns all on his head. Got a lot of ideas of nails in his body formulation. Got a lot of ideas about the replication of yourself in the images of visions that you want to be who you are within the fabric of the dream of death. That's pain and loneliness of what you're representing within a particular continuum of time where everything appears to die. What a strange idea. What a strange idea that let's use 14,000 million years, that no matter what the length of time appears to be in a fabric of the association of light, everything appears to die. Strange idea that you could presume within your own mind a memory of the possibility of eternal life and not be able to see it within a fabric of space-time. The answer from me and from Jesus is, it's not within the fabric of time. It requires being born again in the idea of the containment of your mind, in the certainty of that occurrence. What great Bible stories we have now about Jesus. What a new idea that he is returning. What a great adventure we have in the idea that he has left momentarily and is now coming back into this fabric so we can share the idea of light together. Is it a story about ourselves within our own mind? Yes. Do you intend to participate in the idea that we are going to tell us Easter stories about how he comes into the city, his demonstration of space-time, the increase of the energy of the story about what you're seeing within your own mind? You trust me with this just for a moment. They call me the master teacher. All I could possibly be teaching you is a new revelation of my own mind that occurred within my self-recognition that I now share with you. How may I share it? Only through forgiving my enemy. Did I go to Sermon on the Mount? Did I go to the teachings of the Bible references of Jesus, where he says there is no possibility you can enter the kingdom until you forgive your enemy? Are there ideas that somehow within your mind you can separate yourself from hell and enter the kingdom and let hell remain here? You better listen to me if you want to hear this. Jesus' reappearance here is nothing but his determination to show you a new frequency of light identity that increases the idea of the conversion of you out in the entirety of the universe. And it is a story. Look with me. Thank you for that story. Now, if you can see this with me, that any story I would ever tell you about myself in my appearance here, I'm now a teacher of teachers, could only be telling us a story of the certainty that's contained within our own individual mind, and that any idea of the species, of the identity, let's use body formulation, the idea of memory within my own mind, of coming into separation, cannot exclude the entirety of the possibility that contained within my own mind is a new dream of life that I'm now sharing with you. Because the light of God, in which we are experiencing an awakening from our dream of death, has appeared within us. We tell ourselves stories, don't we, about all of the ideas within the dream of the multitude of dark form energy. Yet it's impossible that within that dream is not the memory of my occurrence with you at this time. So that somewhere out in the galaxies, somewhere out in the entire idea, is the inevitability. When you hear this with me in parallel universes, you're going to meet yourself. You can multiply that an innumerable number of times in the idea of a causal loop of identity. This is the whole teaching of Jesus Christ. But the time will come, and did, where you recognize yourself in that procedure. In that sense, I am a memory of what we term the second coming. It's a simple idea that the story that we're telling ourselves cannot exclude the reappearance of Jesus. Because it's a story about his reappearance that is in your mind, and you are now captive with the idea within the illusion of yourself that you don't belong in space-time. And that when Jesus appears here, the very first thing he's going to say to you, and I'm very joyous over the idea that you are making application of the mind training. Do you see that? That you can train your own mind in body formulation of yourself, in a revision of yourself, in a new way to look at what appears to be outside of you, and recognize in him, are you ready for this, your Savior? How many concerns does Jesus have about the idea of the formulation of your body to be reborn again in the idea of who you are, in a new vision of his appearance? First of all, we recognize, obviously, if there's a universe out there, we are in an illusion of memories of ourselves in regard to our body formulation that appear to come into a space-time identity, suffer loneliness, pain, and death, and are obliterated. Yet the idea of space-time, in any reasonable process, cannot exclude reasonably the possibility of something other than space-time. The alternatives in the science mind are to be that when I suffer the ultimate pain and death, I will be nothing. And if that's true, so be it. Yet any reasonable mind will see immediately the consciousness identity you have about the story you're telling yourself cannot somewhere include the idea of something outside of this framework of time. So that the practice of the lessons you perform within the memory of each other include the whole idea of the Easter or the celebration that he is risen in body form after making a personal appearance in the conversion of energy in an episode of this Course in Miracles. And he's smiling with me now, as he's smiling with you, look with me, because he's always been with you. Any reflection of your light within your own memory could not exclude the memory of him in the atonement of the idea that you were in fracturedism of light and couldn't recognize. Will you listen just a little more to the idea of the happy Easter occasion that occurred beginning on Palm Sunday that we intend to celebrate in this new episode about the story of the crucifixion. Listen. You look still with body's eyes, and they can see but thorns. Yet you have asked for and received another sight. Those who accept the Holy Spirit's purpose as their own share also his vision, and what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar now is yours as well as his. He sees no strangers, only dearly loved and loving friends. He sees no thorns, but only lilies gleaming in the gentle glow of peace that shines on everything he looks upon and loves. Look, this Easter, look with different eyes upon your brother. You have forgiven me, and yet I cannot use your gift of lilies while you see them not. Nor can you use what I have given unless you share it. Listen, the Holy Spirit's vision is no idle gift, no plaything to be tossed about a while and laid aside. Listen and hear this carefully, nor think it but a dream, a careless thought to play with, or a toy you would pick up from time to time and then put away. For if you do, so will it be with you. I'm going to represent the master teacher for a moment. This chapter 20 of the text of our Course in Miracles, what I'm about to read you is a personal description in the first person of Jesus telling you the story about your crucifixion and resurrection. Listen. You have the vision now to look past all illusion. It has been given you to see no thorns, no strangers, and no obstacles to peace. The fear of God is nothing to you now. Who is afraid to look upon illusions, knowing his Savior stands beside him? With him, your vision has become the greatest power for the undoing of illusion that God himself could give. For what God gave the Holy Spirit, you have received. The Son of God looks unto you for his release. For you have asked for and been given the strength to look upon this final obstacle and see no thorns nor nails to crucify the Son of God and crown him King of Death, but rather recognize him in the eternal life that you are. Do you see that with me? Boy, it was a joyous occurrence. And crown him King of eternal life. What before was the idea of thorn and loneliness and pain in the new story of the motion picture you are telling yourself cannot not be included. The joy of the recognition of yourself in a story about yourself in the drama that is playing out in the idea of separation that does not include with you the moment of that reformulation of your life. Now, I'm coming back in just a moment. We have 27 and a half minutes left in the idea that we have taken time, or your idea of a 2,000-year episode from the past, which you have projected into a 2,000-year episode of the future that allows you to see the appearance of Jesus now resurrected as he appeared with you 2,000 years ago in his recognition. You're listening? Because this is the time you have chosen to let it occur. And in this moment of the retelling of the story, you have now included yourself in, have actually departed this frame of light altogether, and are reoccurring momentarily to share with each other his continuing appearance here. because God goes with us wherever we go, being the mind of the drama of the story we're telling ourselves. Should we say it together? God bless us, each and everyone, along with this beautiful vision of Jesus. I'll see you in just a moment. There's a great deal of joy occurring in the fabric of the idea of light association in the stories that you have told yourself as a human being that appeared to trap you in that body formulation of yourself, when all of the evidence, and there's a whole universe out there waiting for you, points to my certainty that a singular mind, which is what the universe is, can represent momentary ideas of separation within space-time. You see this? This is the same idea that it was 2,000 years ago, or 50,000 years ago, or any fabric in which you momentarily found yourself separated in the light from what everything is. Yet it was inevitable that there would not be an appearance of a characterization you had given yourself in regard to who you want to be playing a part within yourself. There's a lot of joy in the idea, and I'm the master teacher, obviously, whatever that means. One thing for sure, it cannot mean more than what you want it to mean in our association with each other. I suppose that would allow you to, or me to tell you stories. Let's try it. Just, I'll use 3 minutes to tell it about body. That I'm a 78-year-old body formulation remembering stories about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Good. And you're 50 or 40 or 30, yet contained within us are memories about the peace and joy that we search for somewhere out there, as though when he got hung up on the cross, he did not resurrect within your mind. So that the drama you make me tell myself, and I'll be master teacher again, about the atomic bomb at Nagasaki, where I stood with the reference of 100,000 people suddenly eliminated, where I have in my mind a memory of a story that we share together in all of the ideas that are occurring within the fabric of our mind. And that finally, in all of the conflict that we have felt in regard to what we are in body form, we begin to see other visions in recognition, come on, this is where your denial is going to occur. That the enemy who appears to be out there in my idea of my determination to share separation and continuing crucifixion with you is in fact only contained within my own mind. Now, what happens? There is a better reflection of you available within the fabric of time that represents momentary memory within your own mind of what you want to be in this aggregation. One thing we can be certain of for sure, if we recognize a fundamental idea that the resurrection has occurred, it will make it much simpler for you to forgive your enemy. Now, the procedures of the teaching of Jesus, cause and effect relationship, inevitably include the power of your own mind to decide what you want to see within the fabric of your own mind. And in the reflection of light, you will not see more or less than that. What just occurred now, there, in the celebration of ourselves in what appears to be body form, is a very intense certainty that I am not this 78-year-old body. You want to share that with me? Obviously, if this is just a fabric of memory, it's always over. My body formulation of recognition of each other within light form is undergoing instantaneous changes everywhere in the universe. Yet I have within me a fabric of remembering our relationship with each other. How will this be accomplished? Through forgiveness. Now, if you insist, I'll use the ego for a minute because this is the teaching of our course, on formulating yourself within a body form and refusing to utilize the energy of the power of light that's available to you, it cannot not constitute your idea of your location within space-time, now, which, say, death, is what death is. Look with me, here's Jesus now. All of the crucifixion, all of the evidence of the ideas of man, all of the ideas of conflict that he shared within his own memory, and listen, include the resurrection. Now the question that just arose in you is, when will that be included? You can listen to the old man, who's not actually this old body formulation, who remembers Nagasaki, who remembers with you now individually what's going on out in this world now, with all the pain and loneliness and death, the loss of the loves that we felt for our loved ones, within the idea of the conflict that represents the chaotic association of light, where no light appears to be possible. Are you going to hear this with me from the Bible? The gospel of you, the light is present with you now in the increased frequency of forgiveness, wherein we originally shared the idea of finding the solution in conflict, and now I'm speaking for my own resurrection, and finally resolve the problem that until we can forgive fabric ideas about the identity we have about ourselves in light form, no salvation of ourself is possible. Does that increase the frequencies of fear, of pain, and death contained in what appears to be out in the world? Yes, but you listen to me. Our mind training has taught us that there isn't anything out in the world. Our mind training through his resurrection has taught us that within the circular association of light form, there is a reflection of pain and death that can be overcome simply by not defending the idea of our mind of the enemy we believe is out there. And that in that objective reassociation through forgiveness, we recognize in this course in miracle procedure the certainty that he is risen. So that the story of this holy week in our text takes on a whole new meaning to us, doesn't it? As I just saw it take on in you when you decided to pick up this holy scripture and acknowledge what it says, in the simplicity that this is a story of being located in space-time and the escape thereof from it in the certainty of eternal life. Listen, will you, just a little bit more about Jesus' appearance here now on this Easter morning.
Here it is. Remember, you have the vision now to look past the illusion, and that's what we've been talking about. It has been given you to see no thorns, no strangers, and no obstacle to peace. The fear of God is nothing to you now. Here we go. Who is afraid to look upon illusion, knowing his Savior stands beside him right here and now in the reflection of light? With him, your vision has become the greatest power for the undoing of illusion that God himself could give. For what God gave the Holy Spirit, you have received, and the Son of God looks upon you for his release. For you have asked for and been given the strength to look upon this final obstacle and see no thorns nor nails to crucify the Son of God. Here we go now, space-time. Your chosen home is on the other side, beyond the veil. It has been carefully prepared for you, and it is ready to receive you now. Look with me, you will not see it with the body's eyes. Yet all you need, you have. Your home has called to you since time began. Nor have you ever failed entirely to hear it. You heard, but knew not how to look, nor where, and now you know. In you, the knowledge lies, ready to be unveiled and freed from all the terror that kept it hidden. Listen with me. There is no fear in love. The song of Easter is the glad refrain that the Son of God was never crucified. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear, but in faith. And there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions. Look with me, only a pathway to the open door of heaven, the home we share in quietness and where we live in gentleness and in peace as one together. And I'm going to complete this idea of a very joyous resurrection of yourself in just a moment. What I wanted to impress on you is the idea that the illusionary nature of correspondence within space-time does not at any moment not make this real for you. All you had to remember with me is you've been telling this story about a location of yourself in space-time since the beginning of time. And it cannot not include the wholeness of the idea of something other of this and other than what you have been within the containment. Because there's no possibility that you would have been asked to share possibility and continuation forever of the pain and death that now represents you. Now, you view me as an idea of body form. But the limitation that you impose upon yourself in this light fabric are so much compressed into the idea of the dimness that there is no strength in a procedure. And once more, the anthropic idea of the power of your mind to decide what you want that allows you to see immediately that the conflict that you previously used to represent was nothing but a procedure of a memory of attack and defense that was contained within your own mind. Is this the condition of a human being? Yes. Is this the condition under which my Savior, represented as Jesus, underwent the experience of a new vision of his entirety? Yes. Is this the procedure in which he allows you to say that the fabric of the correspondent of dark energy form is being reversed within a procedure of the compactness of yourself in your black hole, as he would say? Remember the Gethsemane? Jesus sits there, the disciples are asleep. It's a great story. And he says, God, I've done everything you told me to do. Everything that you've asked me to do, I've done. Will you help me now to see the truth of you from God? No response. This is the idea of the crucifixion. Because the admission of the entirety of God was not contained within the fabric of space-time. Boy, I'm glad you're hearing me. And you're hearing me because I'm appearing now through you after seeing this movie about the resurrection of Jesus, that I can hear this. Any replication of the idea of crucifixion in a three-day interlude that raises you up from the idea of death is a procedure within space-time that you are perfectly capable of sharing within your own mind in the new dream of my appearance in what you term an advanced teacher, and your subsequent occurrence in reassociating with Jesus as he comes back for this final episode. Listen. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear, but in faith. And there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions, only a pathway to the open door of heaven, the home we share in quietness and where we live in gentleness and peace as one together. Listen, would you not have your holy brother lead you there? His innocent will light your way, offering you its guiding light and sure protection, and shining from the holy altar within him where you laid the lilies of forgiveness. Let him be to you the savior from illusions, and look on him with the new vision that looks upon the lilies and brings you joy. We go beyond the veil of fear, lighting each other's way. The holiness that leads us is within us, as is our home. So will we find what we were meant to find by him who leads us. Listen with me. This is the way to heaven and to the peace of Easter, in which we join in glad awareness that the Son of God is risen from the past and has awakened to when? To the present, to here and now. Now is he free, unlimited in his communion with all that is within him. Now are the lilies of his innocence untouched by guilt and perfectly protected from the cold chill of fear and withering blight of sin alike. Your gift has saved him from the thorns and nails, and his strong arm is free to guide you safely through them and beyond. Look with me. Walk with him now, rejoicing, for the Savior from illusion has come to greet you and lead you home with him. Look with me. Here is your Savior and your friend, released from crucifixion through your vision, and free to lead you now where he would be. He will not leave you, nor forsake the Savior in his pain. And gladly will you walk the way of innocence together, singing as you behold the open door of heaven and recognize the home that called to you. Give joyously to one another the freedom and the strength to lead you there, and come before each other's holy altar where the strength and freedom wait to offer and receive the bright awareness that leads you home. The lamp is lit in both of you for one another, and by the hands that gave it to your brother shall both of you be led past fear to love. The occasion. Thank you. The occasion of a script of the story we're telling ourselves, as the idea of being human beings within the idea of being in this fabric of separation, have been increased in frequency by the fundamental admission of the inevitability that life life itself is eternal, and that everything that we share together is nothing but an awakening from the dream now contained within the fabric of our own mind, that we were separate. Will you trust me just a moment in the idea of the converting nature of the possibility that you can direct yourself through a catechism of ideas of sharing through forgiveness, the illumination of your mind that I am representing to you? In my certainty that the movie that we just saw together about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ did include his resurrection. Otherwise, the futility of crucifixion would be very obvious to you. Yet he was crucified and he did suffer. Yes. Yes, of course. Because the idea of being separated is the idea of the loss of the power of light by which you now represent yourself. Now, in the new satellite, in the broadcasting of the prospect of mind conversion, in the reappearance of Jesus, we suddenly are told to practice the idea of the immediacy of the availability of a reillusionment of ourself in time. Why? The light has come. On the 75th day, you did this lesson and were successful. Listen. The light has come. You are healed and you can heal. The light has come. You are saved and you can save. You are at peace. And you bring peace with you wherever you go. And darkness and turmoil and death have disappeared because the light has come. Look with me now today. We celebrate the happy ending to your long dream of disaster. There are no dark dreams now. Why? The light has come. Today, the time of light begins for you and for everyone. Look with me. It is a new era in which a new world is born. The old one has left no trace upon its passing. Today, we see a different world because the light has come. Let's practice together in this miracle course. Today, our exercise of new mind will be a happy one in which we offer thanks for the passing of the old and the beginning of the new. No shadows from the past remain now to darken our sight and hide the world that forgiveness offers us. Today, we will accept the new world as what we want to see. We will be given what we desire. We will to see the light, and the light has come. We will, in the power of our mind, to see the light, because the light has come. Look with me. This is the practice of our conversion. Listen. Dwell not upon the past. Keep a completely open mind, washed of all past ideas, and clean of every concept you've ever had. You have forgiven the world today. You can look upon it now as if you never saw it before. You do not know yet what it looks like. You merely wait to have it shown to you. And while you wait, repeat several times slowly and in patience that the light has come and I have forgiven in the world, and realize that your forgiveness entitles you to the provision of the idea that the light has come. And the communication of the sanctification of the idea of the holiness of your mind identity has awakened you from the dream of chaos. Look with me. As it has awakened you from the dream of chaos. And we recognize within our awakening process a new vision in the formulation of light, and here stands Jesus, reflecting light. I recognize him, and now I recognize you. Because in the recognition of the forgiveness of my brother was a recognition of myself. And the simple realization of the factoring of light, in which I questioned the value within my own mind of what I was, have allowed me to resume and assume the entirety of the responsibility for the power of the universe all around me, to simply sink deep for just a moment into the entirety of the idea of space-time, in which I will always emerge in a new idea of who I am in the celebration of this Easter Sunday morning, when he appeared reborn before us all, and is appearing now reborn in where you saw him as a brother dead and dying within the fabric of your memory. He is enlightened in a procedure of the increase of the frequency of our mind in this course in the miracle idea that he is risen from the dead. So we may say together, not only Happy Easter, Jesus of Nazareth, but Happy Easter you, in the certainty that in the replication of the idea was the requirement for your own resurrection, the reconfiguration of your body form within the dream will be the end of this illusion, and all of this will be over, as it was over a very long time ago. Let's say it together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing me the way and the light. Thank you for allowing me to see the suffering that you underwent, that I may still continue to undergo until I recognize the singularity of our mind in correspondence with ourselves. Let's say it together then, shall we, dear? God bless us, each and every one, and welcome to your home on the other side of the veil. And thank you, in our Bible, for coming back for a moment to show that new crucifixion is longer, that all has been accomplished within the certainty of the love that we share with each other. I'll be seeing you very soon in this new Bible reference of resurrection, in the greatest story that ever could have been told. There it was. He is risen. Thank you for showing me the way. Thank you, brother, for showing me that way. Thank you for sharing that love with me. I needed that. And you gave me that light.